Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris Podcast. I am the one, the only Spooky Chris. Hi, hey, what's going on? Do you know me? if you have not been here before, welcome. These are bite-sized podcasts that try not to get in the way of your life and kind of take up more time than they need to. You can find all of my podcasts and reviews and all kinds of stuff, links to my books at spookychris.com. I'm an author. I'm a podcaster, obviously. Movie reviewer. I do all manner of things. This episode is a little longer, so, you know, just fair warning. I have been lucky enough to start an endeavor with a friend, author Paul Kanellis. We had both kind of wanted to start kind of an imprint of some sort. And so we joined forces and we started Goblin Holler, and we have put two books out, in the about 3 years, since we started, and both are anthologies. The first one is called Unimaginable Tales of the Bigfoot, and the second one is called called Returned Tales of the Haunted. Both are super fun, and this podcast, Paul and I are talking about the new book, as well as just kind of the state of kind of supporting the arts and stuff. But, you know, I hope you'll give a listen. And if you want to look up the books, you can find them on Amazon.com, and they are available on Kindle as well. Both are pretty fun anthologies. I have work in both, and Paul Kanellis has work in both, so definitely would recommend them for sure. For now, I will pass it off to the interview between the two of us and just kind of chatting about this new endeavor. Well, the new book in this endeavor. Thanks a lot. And again, if you want, you can find all my stuff at spookychris.com, and I will talk to you soon. Well, hello, sir. How are you?
Hello there. I'm great. How are you?
I am okay. I'd be much better if we weren't having technical difficulties on my
Right. Yeah, that was strange.
I feel like it's a first date and we are not doing well. I just met your parents and farted.
That's funny.
So there you go. So yeah.
My parents are like, who did you bring to our house?
Who is this dude? You're like, well, Mom, Dad,
shut up.
Whatever. He understands me. So I'll do introductions and such separately.
Okay.
as people are listening and like, oh, what's happening behind the curtain? So yeah, I'll do the intro.
Yes. All right. So
Paul, we were going to talk about the exciting second release from Goblin Holler.
Yes.
So
it's very exciting.
And it's interesting because I have a third guest, because clearly somehow a cricket got down here in the basement and I hear a cricket. So
I hope that's not like a commentary on our discussion.
Crickets on my listenership, I guess. An audience of none. So this is the second release we've had for Goblin Holler. For you, how have you felt about our first release, the Bigfoot book, Unimaginable?
Unimaginable. I felt really good about it. You know, it's so nice looking. It's just such a nice book. That's what I think of when I think of both the Goblin Holler books. I just think how nice they are. They're really nice looking books, and all the feedback is great. Like anytime anyone tells me about, they got it, they read the stories, you know. But I felt great about the first one. Of course, you always want them to sell 50,000 copies, but as far as the release itself goes, I really love that book. And
Well,
I
and
think
I,
that the content's great. I love the stories.
yeah, I think our problem is that we're coming at this in kind of a tumultuous time, I God knows in my life, and just in general, and without kind of knowing where to pour money for an advertisement, it's hard to know, you know, it's hard to kind of do that, and that's. And even with that, you know, we are, there's no reason anyone would suddenly go, yeah. Because that's fun. It's what's funny to me is, so you know, for folks that don't know, Paul and I started a kind of an imprint called Goblin Holler. And it is, you know, so far we put out two anthologies, and the first one was Unimaginable Tales of the Bigfoot. You know, we both had stories in it, and then we had stories from us other folks. It's funny because I see people with like Bigfoot stuff on their car and are into Bigfoot and stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, you'd love this. But then I realize, like, no, they probably wouldn't, because people, like the people that read, like, are not necessarily the same ones that are just like, you know, they don't cross over necessarily. Like, they want to read stories about Bigfoot.
Which is weird to my brain because if someone's like, oh, we're doing a Bigfoot anthology, I'm like, send me the first copy. I want to read Bigfoot comics. I love reading Bigfoot fiction. I like to see everyone's different takes on it. But yeah, you're right. It's who knows what the call is for that, really.
Well, and I mean, and you and I both know well enough, like, the fans that are excited for Terrifier and they're like counting down the days till Terrifier 3 are also not going to be the ones that were first in line to see, oh my gosh, Hereditary, or you know, Midsommar, or you know, it's you're kind of like, but you like horror, and it's like, no, I like this horror, like. I don't like
It's very
Bigfoot.
specific,
I don't want to read about Bigfoot. Like, I'll maybe watch a movie with Bigfoot in it.
If there's cool effects.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think that's just so that's I think that's definitely I think we both agree that's been the frustration with, I mean, and clearly both books, the new one has just come out, but I think we're both still trying to figure out
Definitely.
a plan of attack to kind of get this in the hands of people.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us about our second release?
Well, it's called Returned, right? Is it Tales of Haunting?
Tales of the Haunted.
Tales of the Haunted, that's right. I don't know why I always want to say haunting.
Well, you and I bandied about different names, so
That's
it's
why,
confusing.
yeah. Yeah, I really like this book. I mean, I haven't got to hold the physical copy yet, but I've read it and I love it. I think there's such a variety of stories in here because we have Curtis Prim from Primsylvania, and he also writes for Halloween Machine. He's
Oh
like
yeah,
my
Paul's magazine.
he's like my in-house writer, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. He's great though. He's been there since like issue three, which was
Wow.
freaking 13 years ago now,
Holy
which
cow.
is crazy enough. And then we have Melody Bolt, who's a author of renown. And I like their stories. And then you and I have contributed stories, and I really love your stories in this one.
Oh, well,
And
thank you.
I've gotten positive feedback on it again from people who have bought it and read it. They've been, sending positive feedback. So, and
I
then we
definitely
have
think,
Troy Taylor with the introduction, which is
yeah.
really cool. And David DeGrand again with the cover. So if you put
Yeah,
these two on your shelf next to each other, they look really nice,
we definitely, you know, if we've, you know, you and I've already talked, as long as he would be game, like we would want him to come back and do the covers on whatever releases we do, just because we, you know, he taps into kind of what our thought process is, because the, you know, the whole idea was kind of the pulpy kind of books, but not necessarily for the stories, but like just kind of the look is the, and I wish we could get a one-to-one of the old school, and just Amazon's, you know, company just doesn't do it, but like the old school paperbacks, what you could just kind of stick in your pocket, like that was the ideal, and I they just Someone out there may make though still, like, but that was, to me, that's the ideal form factor, and that's like just a kind of a perfect size.
Right. Because our covers are kind of homage, but they're not that paperback back pocket thing. They look kind of like, though, my wife's bookshelf is full of these books that look just like our book. So, no, that's cool too.
Yeah.
It's kind of uniform and kind of fun. I love the cover for this new book. Man, like when he first sent it, it like brought a little tear to my eye. I loved it so much. This is beautiful.
Yeah, and I like that. We all went about this in different, in much different ways. I think a lot of people, when they think of ghost stories, they think of the traditional dark and scary house and, a storm,
Right.
and the kind, frankly, it's kind of the gothic idea of ghost stories, or maybe even the modern idea of banging thing, things are banging around and there's someone that's haunted. But
Right.
all of our stories are much different and unique in their own ways, and they're not like one another, and I really like that.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing about that is it's not really by design. We just said contribute a haunted house story or a haunting story, not a haunted house story, but a story of haunting. And to have such different what is there's six stories, right? And they're all different. And that's really fun and unique. I think I was kind of jealous of Curtis's idea when I read it. I'm like, oh, that's good. No spoilers, though. You have to buy it yourself and read it.
Which, I mean, and it's available on Amazon.com.
That's right. And it's on Kindle, too.
If so, and Lord knows the both of them gave me headaches laying them out, so
Yeah.
hopefully they
Yeah.
translated well.
Yes, you put some work into it. Well, I read mine via Kindle.
Okay.
So, and it read well. It looked nice.
Good.
So, I can vouch for that. But I'm excited about it still. And I just like you said, I want to get the word out. There's ways that we can get the word out. We just need to figure it out.
Yeah, oh no, for sure. It's definitely, it's especially right now, it's the time of the season for the ghost stuff, for sure. But I think both books are kind of, it's weird that the Bigfoot one feels summery, but I mean, both books
Does
really
kind of.
work for kind of any old season. But I think, this part of the year is so great for haunted house stuff and that kind of a story.
This is a Halloween book for sure, the spooky season, but it you can read it anytime, but man, it would amp up the Halloween season for you.
Oh no, for sure. And I think that's the hope, is that people would really kind of get into that aspect of it and really
Yeah.
discover it. And it really is, it's such a challenge. I mean, ne and neither one of us are, God knows there's a million publishers and a million people doing these, and this, but and this is their that's their full focus. So you and I are coming at it as completely, like,
Right.
our third hobby, fifth hobby kind of hobbyists, where we just wanted to kind of put out stuff with people that we liked.
Yeah.
It's kind of different stories. And I don't, and there's, I mean, really, there's not a lot of, you don't see a lot of anthologies. I know there's a lot out there, but they're so specialized these days.
Yeah.
No niche.
Yeah.
That it's, just kind of a general, I'd like just it's stories about ghosts, stories about Bigfoot. I mean, again, we're also niche, but it's not as, it's that, we didn't have kind of expectations or limitations on, who we approached and what they, they definitely, they could write about whatever they wanted. It was just,
Yep.
you're just kind of reached out to people that we knew to kind of keep it simple.
Yeah. And we did have Valerie Kinney at one point, and she went through a lot of she had a lot of hospital and medical stuff she had to deal with, and she's doing a lot better now. But I just wanted to, say a little something about her too, because I would like to do something with her sometime. She's a really good writer as well.
Oh yeah, no, there's a ton of folks that we know for sure. That would be fun to get involved. It's just kind, I mean, a lot of this is just kind of our idea machine and kind of what our own time looks like. I mean,
Right.
we both are busy with our families, and you and I both have our own private personal writing and work that we do.
Yep.
So it's just it's fitting everything in.
That's, I think, one big reason why I'm proud of it too, because like it looks like, oh well, it might not happen, and then boom, we get it together and it happens and it's cool. And like you said, the expectations, we're not like, this will take over the world. We're like, I want to make a cool book with my
Yeah,
friend.
yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, there's no expectations of, getting rich or anything off of these things. It's just, yeah, for sure. Just like would like to be able to, get them in people's hands and get these kind of these stories out there into the world. I think that's, where I'm coming from for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe if that, if we could hit something where it elevates anyone that we're working with, that's all the better too.
Oh yeah, that'd be, I mean, that would be fantastic.
One of the things for me personally is having David DeGrand do these covers, because he was one of my dad's favorite artists. And, just having those on the shelf, knowing how much he would have loved that, because he passed away a few years ago. So I kind of have a little bit of a kinship for that as well. There's something there that makes me feel good.
And it's been cool that he has been, since Jump Street, he has been game for this, and this very, very,
100%.
very much just kind of, into it, and that's very cool, and that's neat to have instead of somebody that's just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, he definitely loves it. He says that every time we deal with him. He's like, oh yes, I love working with you guys, just flat out. He's like, I love your ideas, I love the concepts. He's game. And he told me last time, if you want to do it again, let me know. So I mean, that's pretty great. And kind of, I think it feels kind of rare.
Yeah.
I haven't worked with a million people like that, but it feels kind of rare. I do have people that do covers for Halloween Machine, and it's, much different, but it's kind of, I think it's kind of rare to have somebody on board with it that's someone that you like and think is cool and has kind of a national audience.
Oh, absolutely.
Freaking props to him.
Yeah,
I would.
No, as I said, I think that's definitely been part of the fun for us is all that aspect of it.
Definitely. And when we first got the very first cover back for the Bigfoot book a few years back, I was like, people are going to want posters of this if they can see it. To your point of getting them out there and getting them into people's hands, if you could see this, you probably would want a poster of it, even, because they're just striking, cool, EC kind of throwback covers. But yeah.
No, for sure. It gives him an identity, and he helped. I mean, we had ideas for a logo for us, and he knocked that out too. So it's, the whole
Perfect.
our identity is kind of thanks to him. So it's
Yeah.
been very, very cool on that aspect. And it's one of those things too. It's like if we could, it's a bummer we aren't able to kind of get to shows and stuff, because I just it's it, that's one of those things too, is that might kind of help.
Yeah. Agreed. We just keep on getting in the box and taking the swings, trying to make it happen. Throw it up and see what sticks, as they say.
And I mean, it's, like when we first started this whole thing too, like we had talked about the whole idea of other ventures under this umbrella. So, and we really haven't done anything else with that. So we'll have to see if anything
Yeah.
catches our fancy.
Rears its beastly head.
Yeah, because I think it's again because we don't have expectations. We have the luxury of kind of doing whatever we want with it, and kind of can be as serious or as kind of free with it as we want.
Yeah. I mean, even not to keep on harping on the cover, but there is a playfulness to that that lets you know almost anything could be in this book. And there are comedy stories in the books too. So it's almost like you don't know what you're gonna get, but you kind of will know what you're gonna get. Which is like anything goes, which is one of my favorite aspects of creativity. Every band I've been in, that was something that I loved about the bands, and that's what I love about doing the Goblin Holler books, because we're very open to different ideas and different things that fit under the banner and the umbrella.
Yep,
And that
absolutely. And we've talked about ideas for the next book, and we'll have to kind of start getting more serious about that as we inch towards 2025. It'd be nice too if we decide to keep trucking like we've been doing, to do a couple of releases. Like in my heart of hearts, it'd be fun to do an anthology every year and then like try to put someone else's book out. It's just a matter of logistics on that, because I don't want somebody to feel like I, because you had gone through this, if memory serves, with a publisher where
Yeah.
you put a book out and they barely supported it, and then it just kind of sat on a shelf and just was forgotten. And I don't want someone to feel that way, because we don't really have the means to put lots of money in this.
Right.
That's just not
Right.
where we're at.
And they did, they did what they could, I think. And it was more a sense of it just wasn't something that was connecting. And then the publishing company dissolved not long after that. So that was even more, I guess, unusual. Maybe not unusual, but I don't know.
And that's kind of the, I mean, that's why I've wanted to, and I think, we've both been in lockstep, is that is to keep this very low key and very kind of DIY, instead of pouring a bunch of money into it and then it's like, well, if this doesn't hit, like we're basically in this,
Yes.
it's all, that it is all or nothing. Because I mean, truly,
Yeah.
with all of the arts, I mean, but especially publishing, is that's just too hard to try to do
Yeah.
that.
It's too hard. And I think our experiences outside of our own imprint have led us to that, because we know, once in a while you get a surprise and something will do well, but we know we have to market these things ourselves. And when we bring other authors in, I think that pushes the responsibility up a little bit to be like, well, we have to do right by them. And I think we do. Comparatively with experiences that I've had with publishers, I think we do right by the authors, but we keep it grounded. It's not anything where, all right, if this fails, we can never publish again.
Yeah.
So
Because there's so many businesses that have that, and that they, and I get it. I get, why you kind of just commit to it and say like, hey, we gotta be
sink or swim. Yeah.
all in. But I also understand that, like, unless you truly have a whole chunk of money just to put in the middle of the table and go for it.
Right.
Like, and I'm, neither one of us is willing to risk our family stability on this.
Right.
And kind of the oh the finicky nature of readership.
Yeah. And books are back, which is really cool. physical books are like huge again, which is, it speaks well for us. But also, I read one of your things that you wrote up on your website, your blog, and I thought the best point was in there, and almost any creative type will agree with this. You do these kind of things because you feel that you have to. This is it. I feel that I have to do this. So I'm not going to shoot myself in the foot on releasing it and marketing it. And like you said, without, unless we had $50,000 just to put into this one project.
But I mean, again, like we have seen how many conventions go in at guns a blazing, and we're in this huge show and this big deal, and it just
Absolutely.
doesn't work out. And it's one of those things too. It's like it's such a careful chemistry that you have little, like your book almost has nothing to do with how successful it is, because it
Right.
could be great or terrible, and a COVID could hit, another
Right.
similar book can hit, the taste can change. There could be a controversy with an author.
Yep.
Like there's a million different small things that could affect it, that everything could line up and it just doesn't work out. I mean, gosh, you're seeing right now with national touring rock acts, or well, just music acts in general, who like get tours set up and are ready to go and then cancel them because of low ticket sales.
Yeah.
And
And they're
it's
having to maybe even band up more than they had to in the past just to get through a small tour.
and these are, these are not bands that were making, like rich people to begin with. So it's,
Yeah.
it's crazy when you think like, no, you've been around for like 20 some years. How are you having
Right.
troubles? Everything
Right.
changed. Like, the listening audience has changed. Like, we have literally made music a la carte. It's like, well, I like this song, I like that song, I don't like that song. And that's kind of how it's always been, but you also don't learn to like more stuff until you keep kind of giving, like, especially with music. Like, if you like a
Yeah.
band, you kind of like sometimes you have to absorb it. It's like, oh, okay. And there's
Yeah. You have to
definitely.
have time to get a second listen and third listen.
Yeah, and there's
The,
definitely
that.
been movies like that I was like, oh, okay, I got it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with books, you don't even get to see really the content. You're literally judging them by the cover a lot of times, or
Well,
like a
yeah,
little blurb. So it's even more difficult.
and it's truly like the way, the Amazonification of everything, and I love Amazon, but like you're truly one book out of 100 million. And you
Right.
think of it as a library with the spines out that someone is wandering through, and you can't, and it's not even that easy, is that like they're wandering through a library with 100 million books and the lights are dimmed.
Yeah.
So it's like they don't
Yes.
even necessarily clearly see what you're trying to do or what your book is. They're scanning stuff like, no, 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 I like that. Like
Right.
they don't know our names, they don't know Goblin Holler from anything. So that's why kind of doing face-to-face stuff has always been important, is just because you can kind of get someone like
Yeah.
personally and go, oh, okay, I'm interested, or they can physically, it's a big thing to ta you know to, a tactile thing, and like to physically hold something like a book or a record or a piece of art in your hands, and you kind of like, you can get a feel like, oh no, I kind of just feel this, like I get the vibe of this, or it's like, no, I'm not feeling it.
Right. And sometimes it helps to make it something that you would even care about even more if you got it in person. There's a few people that go around, they show up at shows where I'm at doing book shows, and they're looking for the next issue of Halloween Machine. And that is the most like, that's the best feeling ever to, because they met me a few years ago at a con or something, and they keep up with this book and they look for the new issues as they come out. But it's definitely a face-to-face thing. I would say probably at least half of the Halloween machines I sell face to face. And that's, for better or for worse. But I think those people, then they stay with you a little more. Name recognition and all that stuff is means a little more to them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It's yeah. I think it's
But
a,
we.
I think it's one of those things where, unfortunately, so many people have just we have kind of commoditized everything so that everything is a side hustle. The arts are kind of seen as the ultimate side hustle, where it's kind of like, eh, whatever. Like, so even,
Almost disposable.
kind of, yeah, like where,
Yeah.
people that are trained artists and, well, whatever. Someone, whatever someone puts their price on their artwork is what their price is. You can disagree or agree with it, but people just want to kind of like, eh, it's not worth it. I can get that anywhere. Kind of that kind of mentality. And
Yeah.
it's kind of hit everything. Like, oh, that's, they sound like that band sounds like this and that or whatever, or they're not, that's not as good as their last one. Or, that book kind of sounds like this. I can just read that. It's, we don't try new things anymore. We're in a rut.
Yes.
And it's funny because you see, you hear about Book Talk all the time and all that, and Bookstagram, and it's someone with a mic and a large audience just try, either selling something that they're being paid to sell to their listeners or viewers, or it's their thing, and they are just so loud that people are like, oh gosh, that must be amazing. And it's
Right. I think there
making.
might be something there to book talk as far as building, building something up because there's a lot of legitimate readers. But it is kind of like if you don't hit it right away, you don't get it.
Yeah.
And it's definitely some, a lot of people are, paid or given the free book or whatever, which is fine. It's cool to get the word out and everything, but it's less, I don't want to say sincere, but I can't really think of a better word for it.
Less organic.
Yes, organic. Perfect. It's less organic. But, there's things to explore and things to try. We just gotta figure it
Yeah. I mean, as our time winds down with the Zoom, we're under 10 minutes now. Thank you, Zoom.
out.
I do think this is, it's been great being able to work with these authors. It's been great being able to work with DeGrand. It's been fun to do this and to kind of really put something different in the world. And I think how, everything else aside, I think that's been super fun, and it's been super fun to be able to do it with you.
Yeah, totally agree. I feel the same exact way. It gives me a little warm feeling. I like all of that, but I really especially like that we're doing it together. It's
Yeah,
fun.
absolutely.
And it's different than when something I would just sit down and do by myself. It's a different challenge and it's rewarding just to have it out, if that makes sense.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
feel it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is at the end of the day, that's what it's about is, however many people these books get in their hands, like as long as people are kind of connecting with them, I think that's the cool thing. And just kind of, that they're into it and they're having fun with it. I think that's the best part.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree, for sure. And I love that.
Well, as always, my friend, it's been a pleasure.
It's really great to talk to you.
It is great to talk to you. I love that. I'm looking too. It's I love that it gives you like a timer. It's like, oh, you have seven.
Wind it down, Ringler.
Well, Pauline, while we have 7 minutes, what kind of creative beverages do you personally have going on?
Right now, I'm working on a book for History Press called The Haunted Oakland County, and it's been challenging. I had written a good part of another book for History Press and it didn't come to fruition for different frustrating reasons, but so I had to restart this and it's been challenging but really really fun and cool. And I've met a lot of cool people through it because I'm going to different cities in Oakland County and kind of checking out the lore and the haunted buildings and the stories from locals. and kind of just doing the research to put it all together is the most challenging part. But I'm about halfway done with that and just got to get pictures and keep on writing and get it done. But that's my biggest thing that I'm working on right now. And then me and the kids are working on they did a book called Twisted Sisters Review Classic Horror Films last year. And it did really well. It kind of kicked in and did really well. So we thought, let's try to do another one. So we're in the middle of working on that too, trying to have that out by Halloween.
Nice.
Yeah.
Another
Those are,
review book.
yeah, it's like I was gonna say Twisted Sisters Review Classic Horror Films 2, TOO, you know, because Anakin is in it now, the brother. So Twisted Sisters and Brother.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of like away from just classic horror films, though. Now we're reviewing just different things that they haven't seen because there's so much and they're so excited and into it. And I love hearing their insights because they're coming from a different place than, you know, our generation. So that's been interesting and cool. And we
Well,
gave a copy of the first one to Donnie Dunagan at a con. And he was the little boy in Ghost of Frankenstein.
nice.
And he loved it. He was so happy. He gave the girls a autographed picture and he just loved it. So that was really fun. That made the whole thing worth it.
That's awesome. And it seems, I mean, it's for something like that, it seems like that is perfect for the monster parents. Who YouTube
Yes.
monster kids who want to get their kids into stuff and may not know how to do it necessarily, but like they can see, these kids that watch all this stuff and read their reviews and maybe like, oh, this sounds fun or this sounds cool.
Yeah, and it's funny too because it'll be a movie that I've seen 50 times, like Frankenstein, and one of the kids will point out something that I didn't think of before, and I'm like, wow, you really are looking at this through different eyes, you know, a different generation. And it's fun to see how well they work, the movies work for them. And generally speaking, most of them have worked really well for them.
That's cool. Good deal.
And what are you working on? He said. Don't,
Hookup.
didn't you, huh?
TBD.
Okay, TBD,
I have
fair.
a new project, but we'll
Okay.
it'll rear its head when it rears its head.
All right, I'm intrigued.
It's probably a If all things work out, it's a 2025er. So we'll see.
Okay. All right.
Who knows? I'm sure that
Something to look forward to.
I'm sure there's this an ocean of fans just desperate,
Well, there's
desperate
me.
hate
I
mail.
always love reading your work. In fact, I read a short story the other day that was one of my favorite things you ever wrote, as you know.
Well,
So, the world
my
waits with
friend.
bated breath.
I have a great evening.
You
Maybe
too.
try talking again before Halloween.
Okay.
So you take care, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to
Bye.
you later, bud. Bye.